MSW Media.
Well, pour yourself a glass, sit for a spill. It's time to have some fun. Let's do a little thinking, some picking and a drinking. Well, this is what we're drinking with Dan Dunn. Oh, yeah.
Welcome to the show, everybody. Oh boy, am I excited today. Last week we did New Zealand wine, and now this week and the next week, we're going to be kicking it in what we're calling our Winter Wonderland of Wine 2023, and the crowd goes crazy. Yeah, look at that. Oh my God, wow. And why not all the excitement? Of course, we're hanging out in one of the coolest spots on the west side of Los Angeles. We are in Marina Del Rey at Dear Jane's. And with us today on the show to drink wine, talk wine, whatever else you could do with wine. I don't know. We'll figure it out. Of course, our partner in the show, Katya Dragotis.
Hello.
How are you?
Hello. I'm doing great. And you've got your L.A., California winter shirt on,
right?
For winter wine.
We are. It's a crisp December day. It's about 75 out there. I had to dress for the occasion. And also with us, our guest of honor on the show today. It's a big deal. Big deal. An old friend, first off. I've known her for quite some time. She is the wine director for the Citron and Melisse group. They've got about nine restaurants in the area. She handles the wine procurement for all of them, including here at Dear Jane's. Caitlin Hara.
Yay.
Hi. Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
Great to have you. It's first time on the show.
Yes.
And we're all excited to have you because you know a lot about wine, right? It's a little bit of your background here.
Still learning. Always. A little bit of my background.
How did you come to wine?
I was a skier in Lake Tahoe, and I wanted to learn a little about wine so that I could make a little bit more money in the restaurant that I was working at. And it just went downhill from there.
Downhill skier.
I wanted to make more money, which is kind of... not what my parents were hoping for.
So this is how you got into it. Yeah.
That's how I got into it about 20 years ago.
Okay. And I've seen you've worked at a bunch of fabulous restaurants here in the area. I've seen you at a lot of the wine festivals. We've hung out at Pebble Beach Food and Wine back in the day. I mean, you know your stuff. And so also you're a bit of a badass. You can handle yourself. So we've got a lot of wine today. So we're gonna plow through. So I don't even want to mess around. I want to get right to it. And these are wines that we're gonna suggest that you guys pick up for the winter, get you through it. And we're gonna
all
start with a little curveball.
Parties.
White wine.
Love it.
People don't normally think of white wine for the winter, but we do.
Unless and the first you're day one, drinking.
Unless you're day drinking. Yeah, that's right. But... Well, in LA, we're all sweaty.
Yeah.
this one's called Bottega Vinaia. That's V-I-N-A-I-A. It's from Italy, the Trentino region. This is a Pinot Grigio. And we're gonna try some of this right now, get this party started right.
Cheers.
Here we go.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. So
happy holidays.
Caitlin, tell us a little bit about that region, Trentino, of Italy and Pinot Grigio from the region in general.
Yeah, Pinot Grigio I think is probably one of the most friendly wines as far as, you know, when you're going to your holiday parties, because it's light, it's crisp, you know, that buttery oaky style of California for Chardonnay may not necessarily be for everybody. So it's, you know, it's an easy drinking wine that goes with a lot of different foods if you're doing a pairing. Trentino is in the northern part of Italy. So we're going to think northeast. And it's kind of, it's planted on a dried up riverbed. So you're going to get a lot of that minerality in the wine. It's just,
which I'm totally, you getting this too?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, this is
this is my style wine, like 100%.
Yeah.
This
dry,
is like a perfect
flavorful,
appetizer.
It's, yeah. Kick it's, off. I mean, yeah. It is a, what else we got about this? We're going to get
some
info.
I feel like I'm getting a little citrus.
Yeah.
A little bit. Little mineral citrus blend.
That candied Meyer lemon situation.
Yep, exactly.
It's not a sweet wine.
No.
But, you know, there's lots of different flavors that you can get from a wine that are not necessarily, you know, if you get Meyer lemon, I'm not talking about like, oh, that sweetness. But you kind of think about those flavor profiles, you know. So, I mean, what I like to do is kind of, there is a thing called a flavor wheel. If you want to like get on wine and, you know, you have a hard time describing something, you can get it online. It's great. Because sometimes I have like a little, you know, get a little stumped and I'm like, God, what is that flavor that I'm trying to describe?
Yep.
And so what you'll do is say it's citrus and it'll break down citrus notes. It'll be like, is it orange? Is it lemon? Is it grapefruit? And then, you know, it'll take lemon and it'll be, you know, is it lemon skin? Is it lemon juice? Is it Meyer lemon? Is it candied lemon? Is it this or that?
Is it kumquat?
Is it kumquat?
That I just like
Meyer
to say
lemon,
that. That's
that
my
you
favorite
said it,
fruit
like,
name.
Yeah. It was exactly what
yeah,
it was.
So
yeah.
it breaks things down. So, you know, think of something, okay, it's earthy, but, you know, is it dirty? Is it, you know, like what kind of earth? And so it breaks things down and it makes it a little bit more distinct, if you will. So I encourage everyone to get one because they're, I mean, everyone gets stumped.
Yeah. How do you keep track of like all, you obviously try so many different wines. How do you keep track of like what you personally want to drink and remember those?
Or you don't.
Do you keep notes in the phone? Like, you can do that. I have a folder in my phone where if I take pictures of wines and then I put them in that folder.
Do you ever use Vivino? Have you ever used that?
Vivino is a
good
source too.
App.
And you can, I mean, people bring it into the restaurant all the time.
Vivino? Or
and they'll
just,
be like,
okay.
I like this wine. And if I don't have that wine, it's actually really helpful because I can, I'm like, okay, this is the style you like.
Yeah.
It tells your somm or server or whomever that's working with you a lot about the theme of what you're drinking.
What we're drinking.
See, she's dropping. I like that you're dropping. So if this one, by the way, you mentioned earlier, if you're going to a party, that kind of thing, I think this wine would really work with a lot, like pasta with a creamy sauce.
I got like a brie.
Veal risotto.
Like
I think there's a lot of things that this would go for. It's not heavy on the alcohol, 13% ABV. Yeah. The price on this, you care to take a venture a guess there, Katya?
17. 22. Okay.
$22 a bottle. Bottega Vinaya Pinot Grigio.
Love
available
it.
Wherever you get your wines that you're drinking. And
even just look it up online. There's a lot of websites that are friendly with the pricing or shipping. You know, there's
I'm
into this.
I like
ship
it.
Things
from Trentino. The winemaker's name is
great.
Fabrizio.
Are you Italian?
Fabrizio Marinconz. That's his name. I'm messing his name up. So how would you say Marinconz, right?
I'm already confused.
Fabrizio. That's my mom's last name, Fabrizio.
Is it really?
And that's his first name.
I love that.
So that's good. We're starting off, we're coming out with a bang.
Honoring
now, where
mom.
You want to go next? Well, now we're going on to Ritz.
I kind of put them in
in
system.
Order.
Put it in a okay. system.
Look, you're producing the show.
What do you got? What
it's
do we got
amazing.
Next? What's the second one there, Katya? You grab right. that and start pouring.
We have, was it Pinot Noir?
Yeah.
From Russian River Valley.
What's it called?
It is Landmark Vineyards.
Oh, okay.
Hopkiln Estate.
Great.
Which is their estate. You know, what's great about drinking wines that are from, from someone's specific estate and they're not purchasing wine is they have all of the rights to figuring out how they want to farm, how they want to treat their vines, how they want to do they want to do whole cluster fermentation? Do they want to hand harvest? Do they want to use pesticides? Do they want to, you know?
How do you even make
so they
decision?
Got all this? All right, I'm going to give you the blow
big
by
deal,
blow on this
deal.
Quickly. Landmark Vineyards 2021 Hop Kiln Estate Pinot Noir. It's 100% Pinot Noir, as Caitlin said, Russian River Valley, which is up here in Northern California. French oak aged 40% new for 10 months. Mm-hmm. They bottled this back in August of 2022. It is 14.4% alcohol.
Hello.
Because we're in California wine, baby. They're not messing around with that 12 and 13. No. So the winemaker is a guy named Greg Stock.
Label.
I don't think I'm messing that up. S-T-A-C-H. This one I'm excited to try. This is derived from multiple clones. You want to get into clones? Are we too geeky
here? What does that mean?
And let me take a nose on this.
We might lose a few.
No, I need to know about a clone. I love it. Tell
us.
No,
there's different clones. A lot of people really like to brag about maybe going to France and sticking that clone in their pocket.
Okay.
Coming
maybe,
back.
Maybe shoving it in their suitcase, okay. Wrapped in a towel.
They're not claiming that. Customs.
And it's just one of those things because there's so many different clones, soil types, like all of these things, vintage, give different styles to your Pinot Noir. That's why all wines taste different.
Is there vintage in California? Or
yeah.
Do we?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, vintage is just the year.
The
it
year
was
that
grown.
They, but
it's
they
not
harvest.
Too.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then, like I said, this one's 21. Right off the nose on this, tons of fruit, like
yeah.
Black cherry, mm-hmm. A lot of the berries, the strawberries, raspberries. I'm getting on this, a little bit of spiciness.
So all the berries,
some tobacco. Every berry in existence, I'm getting on the
berries.
Nose right here. When drinking it on the palate, I mean, this is kind of a medium-bodied wine, a Pinot Noir, mm-hmm. Getting some plum, some cranberry. Maybe a little blackberry going on in here. What do you ladies taste?
I get so much strawberry on the nose, but not on the palate.
And if you're gonna go, but like if we're gonna go down strawberry land, it's like it's not fresh strawberry. We're talking like
dry,
almost like jammy.
Yes,
jammy, right. Which is also something that Russian River is known for. You know, and that's also something. It's like, oh, I love Pinots from the Russian River Valley. I love Pinots from, you know, Santa Barbara. These are all different places, and you know, they have also. You know, vintage is different in every region because they, you know, might have had some fires that year.
So 2021 would have been, right, fires?
2020.
20, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
A lot of wineries are bringing me library vintages because they don't have any 2020 to sell. They literally
I mean, how bad
nothing.
Did it? How bad did it decimate, do you think?
Pretty bad.
Yeah.
And, you know, imagine your entire life just for a whole year. You have family, you have rent, you have, you know,
no money coming
and
in.
Just no money. No money at all.
That's
and
thank God we have all this wine because I'm getting depressed now.
Yeah.
Drinking some more. Thanks
Debbie
a lot.
Debbie Downer
Caitlin.
Over here.
You're enjoying your day. Everything's going your way. And along comes Debbie Downer.
River Valley Pinot Noirs tend to be more jammy. That's kind
of
the overall category.
They're kind of a little. They're bigger in style.
Okay,
and so
this has Cabernet characteristics.
It does.
The other thing that's jumping out at me, I don't know, is the mushroom. You're getting into that mushroom
umami
like that
characteristic.
It's so. Where's that coming from?
So, I would say that there's, and we can talk about this also when we get down the road. But there's, with the symmetry, but it's. That umami characteristic, it's like integration. We're talking about French oak. French oak is very expensive, and that's why a lot of people don't use it. If you're talking about American oak, which adds like that coconut dill situation, that's like a $2,000 barrel. When we're talking about Americans buying French oak, bringing them over, all of this thing, da-da-da-da-da, I mean, you're talking about an $8,000 barrel.
A $6,000 difference.
Yeah, so your price point for your wine is quadruple.
Well, that's a good
so
point.
What's the
what
price
is,
point?
What is the price point here? You want to care to venture a guess? This is the Landmark Vineyards Hop Kiln Estate 2021 Pinot Noir. Katya, how much do you think
it is? Oh, my God. Okay, well, now you just threw me off.
Retail, yeah. I'm going to say 55.
Katya, ooh. What do you say?
42.
The winner is, maths, carry the eight. I think you're closer. It's $50.
Oh,
$50 a bottle. I think 55 is closer to 42.
Yep.
I was not a math major, but I do believe I got that one right. Now, this, with your food pairings on this, I'm thinking you want to go like really richly flavored, like lamb. No?
I don't know.
You don't think so?
I still think it could be, I'm not. Maybe I'm just still in the appetizer room, but like
LJ, will you edit this part out where they're disagreeing with me?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, just make it seem like.
I would say like if you're gonna go fish, I would say go with a richer style,
sure.
Go with like a salmon. If
wow.
you're gonna do a meat, I would say something chicken.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I got
Marty charcuterie board.
I would think more steak or burger almost. No.
Oh, a burger would be good.
All right, what do I know?
Like a smash burger.
I'm just the host of the show.
Like,
I don't know anything.
Let's talk about lamb when we get a little further down the road.
Guess what? Guess what? I'm going to call Greg Stock, the Stach, STACH. I'm going to call Greg and ask him. He's the winemaker.
That's
and I will
true.
Say, what would you eat with this, Greg?
WWGD.
There
he
you
would
go.
Say everything.
Yeah, but no, this is. Yeah. I'm really digging this. And for $50, you know, it's a great price point. Now, what do we got next? Going J.O. O'Sullivan, Rutherford Estate, Founders Reserve Merlot. That's a 2020, right? So I'm going to give you the quick rundown on here. The key here, what's happening right now? We're being invaded?
There, maybe.
Ah.
What is that?
It does sound like a space. Street cleaning?
Maybe the street cleaning's happening? All right. Don't mind that noise, those of you listening. We're just being, something's happening.
I can run outside.
No, it's totally fine.
How do we sound, LJ?
It's not going to, is it making a difference? It sounds fine. It's, you know what it is?
We'll get a little closer.
It's a vibrator. All right, fine. We're that excited about the
wine. I didn't tell you I brought that?
We're so excited about these wines. What is happening?
It's power wash. It's definitely power wash.
Check right outside that door. It's kind of worth the show for a second.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's loud.
Yeah.
It's definitely a power wash.
I usually say it doesn't matter. This one actually kind of matters.
The holidays are coming. That's right. Right around the corner. Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, all right around the corner. What does that mean, by the way, right around the corner? You turn, you see it. What if you walk by? What if you keep going straight? Do you miss it? Do you miss the holidays? I don't know. I'm rambling. Anyway, holidays are here. If you're throwing a party and you're going to make some cocktails, if you use subpar mixers, you're going to get subpar drinks, and that's why I'm all about the Fresh Victor. Fresh Victor is a line of all natural, clean label cocktail mixers that brings the magic of master mixologists into your home. They feature a bunch of unique blends with contemporary flavors designed to suit any palate. All of the ingredients in Fresh Victor mixers are fair trade sourced. There's no artificial anything, and they're produced at a 100% solar powered juicing plant where there's no waste. Right now, Fresh Victor is offering a holiday special exclusively for you, listeners of the WWD podcast. Simply go to freshvictor.com and put a bunch of mixers in your shopping cart. And when you check out, enter promo code FVDAN20 to get 20% off your order. Again, that's FVDAN20. 20% off. It's the ultimate holiday gift to yourself and to your party guests. So what are you waiting for? Now's the time to treat yourself to the very best mixers on the market. And that's Fresh Victor. We're back. And next up, oh boy, this is exciting. A very, very dynamic wine we have here. J.O. Sullivan, Rutherford Estate, Founders Reserve Merlot, 2020. Let me tell you about this one. The key here, Sullivan's a 50-year-old winery in the heart of Rutherford, which is one of the more famous growing regions in the United States, in the Napa Valley. Very few people outside of Napa and even within have heard of this. In 2018, a guy named Juan Pablo Torres Padilla, JP, and a few others purchased this property and was recently named one of the leaders in Napa in reshaping its future. And why? Caitlin, you're wondering why? Because after buying the property and tasting through the library, he realized that the Merlot stood out. It's not something you often think about in the Napa Valley. He realized that one of the reasons Merlot has gotten a bad rap or an inferior rap up in Napa Valley is that most people plant it on inferior soils.
Let me finish this.
So most people plant on inferior soils. The Cabernet is the cash crop in Napa Valley, and that's going to be grown on the best soils in Napa. It's planted for economic reasons. They get way more money per ton for their cab. Now, this is an estate producer. Caitlin was talking about that earlier. When it's your estate, it's your stuff. You decide what you want to grow, where you want to grow it, how you want to grow it, and that's what they're doing. And so he also wanted to differentiate Sullivan from this sea of Napa cab producers. So him, vineyard manager Mike Wolf, winemaker Jeff Cole, decided to plant more Merlot on the property, and they've done it on the cab soil. And they're bullish on this idea that Merlot, great Merlot, fantastic Merlot, world-class Merlot, is achievable in the Napa Valley if you plant it in the right area.
That's so I love that you're like itching to go on this, because why is it that in general, and maybe this is just me and like my circle, I don't dislike Merlot, but there's something in my mind that's like, oh, I don't like Merlot, but I don't know why, because I don't
Sideways,
know
because you watch Sideways.
Maybe that's it. That's it. So I want to know where this comes from.
All right. So yes, that movie destroyed. We're talking about fires destroying an entire year. We're talking about all of these things destroying an entire vintage. Well, Merlot has an even worse rap, because we didn't just destroy one year. We destroyed an entire economy. It takes 7 years for a vine to develop into like a full crop. So it's one of those things that
we're laughing because we're here at Dear Jane's, and Dear Jane's is awesome, but dear God, what's happening outside? There's every possible construction thing that can be happening right now is happening outside.
It's also really quiet everywhere else on the street.
It's literally we're right by the solitude. Ocean. Yeah. A geriatric neighborhood in Los Angeles. Yeah,
but not
we
today.
We might as well be downtown
we
LA.
We will plow through. We're going to plow through this. Let's do it. So go ahead,
Okay, so, and it's one of those things where I go up to a table and I say, you know, oh, what are you into? What's your style? I want something that's full-bodied. Okay, but do you like tannins? And they're like, no, I want something really smooth. Oh, you like Merlot? No. I hate Merlot, and I'm just like,
you don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So it's, yes, for economic reasons, everyone ripped up their vines because no one was buying their wine, and they planted cab, which then they were, you know, making a lot more money off of.
So you're an evangelist for Merlot. You're going to bring it back.
I love Merlot. Drink Merlot.
Well, I'm in on this. So,
well, and by the way, this is a 2020. So I'm reading this because you were talking earlier about the fires, and it said they were talking about, you know, very, very low yield because of the fires. Mm-hmm. Whatever fruit they had underwent extensive testing for what's called smoke taint.
Okay.
I know you want to make a joke. I know you want to make a taint joke, but we're not going to do it. And any questionable lots were thrown away. So this is very small. The quantity of this particular wine, which is going to probably have something to do with the price on this one. $310 a bottle. There you go.
Oh, behave.
$310 a bottle for this one, because it is not much of it. I'm getting, it's very succulent, fruit flavor, a lot of tannic. The tannins in this. I mean, this is a very well-structured, big wine.
Is this your lamb?
A baller. What's that?
Is this your lamb wine?
This is my lamb wine, my burger wine.
Do you eat anything else?
Just lamb. I just like the idea of I see a lamb and I'm like, I see those cute little lambs in the field and I go, you know what? I want to eat that.
I mean, I'm Greek, I'm on that same page.
Okay.
I won't see. All right.
So we
babies.
Just have Caitlin in the middle.
Yeah. So here we go. Jay O'Sullivan's founder of Reserve Merlot. I feel like we got to rush through these before the next.
I know.
There's an earthquake or a tsunami or something's going to happen today.
When we had a tsunami and then it was like, throw in the earthquake.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, summer.
We're having a hurricane.
A hurricane.
The day the hurricane was supposed to arrive, I remember laying on my couch and it started shaking and I go, oh.
I thought the world
the
was
The universe
over.
Has yeah. a sixth sense of humor, doesn't
totally.
It?
Totally.
Yeah, they're going to throw this at us. All right. Digging this, loving it. I love that they're doing Merlot
love
up
it.
There. Caitlin Harris says, if you have any bias against Merlot, you're stupid. You hear that, Paul Giamatti?
What was Seriously.
His name? What was his name in the movie? Miles. That was his name
yes.
in Sideways.
But the thing is that, and this is what people talk about, is he didn't dislike Merlot. He just disliked it because his ex-wife drank it.
That's right.
That's true.
We are on
context
board.
Here. Context.
All right. Next up. We've got a
Rodney.
No, what do we have
Rodney
next?
Rodney Strong, Cabernet.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Alexander Valley.
All right. Rodney Strong, Alexander Valley, Cabernet Sauvignon. As you can see, I printed up some notes and brought them with me. Justin Seidenfeld is the winemaker. This is 2019. 14.5% alcohol, 100% Cabernet Sauvignon, 24 months in 100% French oak barrels, 50% of which are new. Rodney Strong
That's
is one of the iconic wineries up there. Been around since 1959, yeah. right? It's a long time
that
up
is
there.
A long time.
In the 1960s, yeah, they recognized that Sonoma County's Alexander Valley was an exceptional area for heat-loving Cabernet Sauvignon. Planted their first Cabernet in 1971, Alexander's Crown. Right.
So heat loving, does that mean that it's like on the top of the hill type situation then?
No. Heat loving, it's a thick skin varietal.
Okay.
So Pinot Noir does well next to the coast because it's a thin skin varietal. It needs that fog. It needs a little cooler environment. Varietals, and it's also, so wine gets tannin from skins and seeds. So you're going to want that Cabernet to be like in some hot area so that it develops a thicker skin to develop tannin. So it's also kind of like when I talk about Pinot Noir in a cooler environment, I always say like when it's cold, you want to put a little coat on, right?
Yeah.
So that's like, you're like, ugh. So it's one of those situations where, you know, a thick skin gives it those flavor profiles.
Mm. And this one's got girth.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a hard bung.
Yeah.
Kidding. I'm going to be using
okay,
I'm
well,
working.
Is that your new word?
I'm working hard bung into
yeah.
my. All
Do
right,
you know
so,
what a bung is?
No, I don't.
Well, it's actually called a bung hole.
Oh, okay. Wait, I've heard of this, but I don't remember.
Just yeah. lobbing it to you. So the bung hole is.
She knows what the bunghole is. Don't even pretend. Come on.
I had to give it to you. The barrel, when it's on its side, there's a hole
yes.
at the top.
Yes.
And, what they
and that's
do
where
is
you
they
stick your thing
stick
in.
And, yeah.
you stick your thing your in the stick. Hole.
Yeah. And you pull it out.
Pull it out.
Pull some yeah. juice out.
Instead of yep. putting it in.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah, you pull out.
Other situations, which we're euphemistically talking about here, you would put it in, but in this case, you pull it out.
Yeah.
Got it?
You
got
pull
it.
That juice okay. out.
And right now, the Rodney Strong people are going, what are you doing? Dried fig, I'm
Sorry
getting here.
About
a little
it.
Chocolate, a little milk chocolate happening, right? This is.
Yeah, you know, for sure. But
a
like
lot going
milk
on
chocolate,
in this
like black chocolate yeah. or dark chocolate.
I would yeah. eat this with lamb. No, I would say cheese. Like
you're
a
just going to continue
board?
With this because eventually you're going to be
gonna
right.
hit one. You're gonna go, that's the one. That's the lamb. Charcuterie, I think filet mignon with this, grilled vegetables. Maybe
yeah.
some chocolate mousse for dessert.
Ooh.
Ooh yeah.
No.
You could, they're saying 5 to 7 years age on this, you could do, right?
That is extremely short for Cabernet Sauvignon. However, California wines are kind of meant to drink a little earlier than, say, French wines.
Why is okay. that?
Because We like our wines with a little sugar, higher alcohol.
We like young people in California.
That's right.
That's really what it is.
It's like a Hollywood standard. Wait, how old's this wine?
Yeah, no, you're no good to us anymore.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a friggin' writer, and they ask how old you are. I'm like, I'm not in it. Yeah. I just wrote it. Doesn't matter. We want young people writing. This one is $35 a bottle.
Very approachable. Love that.
There we go. And we're going to move right on to another Rodney Strong wine. Ooh. This one is the 2017 Symmetry, which is a blend. Okay, we're going to get 69% Cab Sauvignon, 12% Merlot, 12% Malbec, 4 Petit Verdot, and 3% Cab Franc, 24 months in French oak barrels, 75% of that being new. Sorry, let me get this. I got to get the wine going here.
There is a theme happening here with French oak.
But 2017 was a really good vintage up there.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, in this case, why it's called Symmetry, which is balance, is this is a blend. That's why they just say red wine on the bottle and not Cabernet Sauvignon, is it is what we call a Bordeaux wine. So they're using all five varietals that are famous for Bordeaux, which is Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, Malbec, Petit Verdot, and Cab Franc. So because it's Cabernet heavy, we would call this a left bank Bordeaux blend.
Why left bank? What would be right bank? What would
because,
be the opposite?
Because when you're Merlot
heavy. It voted for Biden.
Got it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it was Biden. The other, you know, the right bank stuff.
It's nice and tight.
There. Yeah. The right bank wines storm the Capitol.
Got it.
Yeah, that's where you go.
January 6th. So, it's just they harvest on January 6th.
This is the silkiest mouthfeel that we've had, I think, of all the wines, right? And what's causing that? Why is that? Like, do you get very smooth, silky feel I'm getting?
Would you eat lamb with this?
No, I would not touch lamb. I would have... Fowl.
Venison?
Fowl. Some sort of fowl.
With fowl.
W-L-O-W-L. Fowl. Mm-hmm, fowl. Mm-hmm. An owl. How about an owl?
An owl.
Can you eat
fowl
owl?
And owl?
Can you eat owl?
I think they're too lean or muscular, I mean.
Hard to catch them, too.
Yeah.
At night.
Man, I grew up with a lot of fowl.
Are we at that point of the show?
I ate a lot of fowl.
We're at that point of the show now where
yep.
I'm getting stupid.
Yep.
Yes. Making jokes. Eating owls. Let me silence my phone.
I gotta go work a 2-star Michelin restaurant.
Oh, shoot.
That's right. Ah. Stew. How about beef stew with this?
Okay.
How about a little stew or grilled pork tenderloin?
There you go. Okay.
How about a bolognese?
This one's speaking to me.
Okay. Symmetry, as I said, balance. So it's the most balanced wine that we've had thus far. Because you're taking those different varietals, you have the Cabernet to add tannin, you have the Merlot to add that kind of, to balance out the tannin of the Cabernet. You've got the Cab Franc, which adds like green notes to a wine.
Okay.
I just got the green note. I just got the bell pepper.
You got that bell pepper now. Malbec was always considered to be a. There we go. Am I getting stupid?
Oh, yeah. Hey. Give her a little bit more. No.
Where are you working tonight? It'll be fun.
Wait till the second episode.
Yeah. Oh, my God. We have a 2-star Michelin restaurant and a 1-star Michelin restaurant all under one roof. So that's where I'm always at. You can always find me there. So the Malbec was always considered to be a workhorse wine in Bordeaux. And before it went over to South America, where in South America, it's obviously like they figured out how to grow it there. And
Argentina would be the most famous examples of Malbec, right? Yeah. Okay.
And the reason was not just because of the varietal, but of people migrating to South America, and taking the knowledge of how to work with Malbec over with them. So that kind of gives those earthy notes. And then what do we got? Petit Verdot being the last one. Those were always used in really small percentages, like less than
4% here.
Yeah, less than 5%. Like now it's actually becoming a more popular varietal. But Petit Verdot adds like structure. And so that's
symmetry.
Symmetry. So the symmetry of this wine is that they've taken all these varietals and balanced out the wine.
Well, I'm digging this one. And we're giving this a thumbs up.
I like that.
I'm Caitlin Bristow from The Bachelorette, and I have one question for Dan Dunn, and that is, will you accept this rosé?
Is this a first impression rosé?
Sure, but it's definitely not the last.
I like this one.
We've got one more. One more, and then a little surprise.
Okay.
So the next one up, we're going to do the Paso de Oro Cabernet Sauvignon 2021. As you know, I don't need to tell you this, Paso de Oro means way of gold. And
you did need to
Paso is
that,
a wine region in California in the central coast, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Paso Robles. This is 86% Cabernet Sauvignon, 14% Petit Syrah. As you can see, very dark ruby red color on the nose right now. All right, different nose than we've had. I'm getting vanilla, a little clove, cinnamon.
Yeah.
Hibiscus,
so that's
maybe.
When you're thinking holiday.
Right? This could be a good holiday.
I'm also
wine
thinking
here.
American oak on this. Maybe maybe this is not our it's our first American oak wine, huh?
I don't know.
Maybe, possibly.
That part I don't know. What I do know is that they sourced their grapes from four different AVAs. American viticultural areas in Paso.
Oh.
Each block has a different elevation, soil type, row direction, clone, and rootstock, which they stole from France. No, I'm kidding. I don't know that they did that.
I was like, here we go.
And they ferment each block, individual block separately.
And then blend it.
A bunch of different yeast strains. There's a lot going on here.
I was
and it's
say,
aged
it's
in,
complex.
It just says new and used barrels. So
probably
it could just
American.
Be. Yeah. The ones, you know the ones where guys go over waterfalls in the barrels?
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those. I think they use that. Yeah, that's
great.
What they put here.
It's very
winemaker
complex.
Is a, Laura Orozco is the winemaker, one of the very highly talented. She grew up in Napa, worked at Chimney Rock. That's one of my favorite wineries up there. I love
is
Chimney
it?
Rock. And making great wine now in Paso Robles. This one is, what do you got flavor-wise? What are you guys getting here? Guys, I hate when I say that. What are you ladies getting here?
I'm used to it.
Complexity.
Someone called me bro the other day at the airport.
Was he 21?
You do got the Billy Idol do. You got a Billy Idol do going.
What's
on
up,
right
bro?
Now, yeah.
Some emails I had to get to, and
like
I couldn't
that.
Leave the airport, so I went and sat at like Rockin' Brews, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I bust up my computer, and this guy's, you know, I get it a lot because I have short hair, but this guy's like, "You want a beer, bro?"
Oh God,
I was like.
I would like a Cabernet Sauvignon.
The funny stuff happens
have
in the,
a sour beer.
Yeah. All kinds of funny stuff always happens in airport bars. Our PA is here today, Dave Zeeler. One time, hi Dave.
Hey,
one
Dave.
Time, Dave and I were at an airport. We're in the Vegas airport. We were coming back from Vegas, a ruinous weekend in Vegas. We were definitely still intoxicated at the bar, but we get in and we're going to get drinks before our flight home. And this guy came in, Dave, you have to remember this. This old man came in and sat next to me. And when I say old man, he was knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. This guy was, no joke, had to be 80 years old, right? And he comes in and he's all bent over and he sits down there and he's got bags and stuff. And the bartender was a very, had to be like ex-military, nothing wrong with ex-military, but he was a rigid kind of guy.
Yeah.
And he was young, he had the buzz cut going. And he comes up and he says, the guy's like, yeah, can I get a, he's like, can barely talk, he's so old. Dust came out of his mouth when he was talking. That's how old he was. And he ordered he ordered like a, you know, a gin Ricky or something,
you
order.
Love
and,
that.
And he orders the drink and the bartender says, can I see some ID?
Stop it.
And I couldn't take it. Dave, you remember this, right? So I go, are you serious, man? And he didn't like me jumping in. He goes, excuse me, sir, I'm doing my job.
Ooh.
I go, yeah, I get it. So the guy didn't have his wallet. It was like in his bag.
Aww.
So he's fishing around trying to find the wallet. And I go, come on, man.
This is sad.
I go, you
yeah.
can't. He goes, sir, the state of Nevada mandates that I card everybody. I go, so you're not capable of making the decision that this guy, no offense, who's, they're already started inscribing the tombstone, right? I'm like, and you can't, you're not capable. They don't authorize you to make that decision on your own, that there's no fucking chance that this guy's not of age, you know?
Because don't they say the judgment call is like under 35 or something?
He was so,
like,
and he's like, sir, And then Dave's realizing we're getting to the point where I'm going to get kicked out of the bar.
Yep.
And I think we did get. Did we get kicked
did
out?
Did you get kicked out?
I don't think he gave us any more drinks. That's for sure. But yeah. It was so.
There you go.
Yeah, we might have left. Dave understands. It's like, get the hook out. All right, time to go. I like when I get pissed off about shit that has nothing to do with me. Anyway, Paso d'Oro 2021 Cabernet Sauvignon. This is very drinkable.
Very.
I'm digging this. I love that region. Are you a fan of that region of California?
It's becoming more and more popular, for sure. It's kind of like there's areas that, you know, have become so expensive to produce wine. This is like the new Napa, if you will.
Okay.
Kind of like Santa Barbara is kind of, you know, because Sonoma wines have also become, you know, expensive. So people are purchasing land in Santa Barbara. I'm a huge fan of Santa Barbara wines.
Me too.
I love it.
And I love the tasting rooms there.
It's just so social. I can't stand that people go to Temecula.
Yeah.
For wine tasting, I was like, that's cooking wine.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah. And I'm like, we have Santa Barbara in our backyard, and
it's closer.
Is delicious.
Yeah. Yeah. I also love that, in my opinion, nothing against Napa, but Napa to me is like a honeymoon, and Santa Barbara is like a fun girls trip with great wine because it's so social in all the tasting rooms. You can come.
You just said it's a fun girls trip.
I mean, you can be a girl. Yeah. Yeah. You can be a girl's trip.
I feel like you're triggering me right now, not letting me come on your girl's trip. By the way, you know another thing? You just said it's a new Napa. I just figured this out in my head. Napa, N-A-P-A, four letters. Uh-huh. Valley, six letters. Paso, four letters. Robles, six letters.
What a writer.
Wow.
Words, who knew?
Letters.
People are saying. Now I'm starting to sound like
we
Donald
just
Trump.
Lost
There's a us in U.S. Nobody knew this until now. All right, we got to move on because I'm afraid they're going to tear down. They're going to demolish the building across the street if we don't get moving. Okay, finally, the last one on this part one of our winter wonderland of wine. We're going to go to some port. W&J Graham's 10-year-old tawny port. And I want you to tell us, Caitlin, about port and what is it that makes, I mean, it's obviously made in Portugal.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Is it made in Portugal? Not anymore.
It's not like champagne has to be made in Champagne.
Okay.
There are other.
It's a heavy port pull. I'm poor.
It's, yeah.
That was a heavy port. Pull.
It's like you're already on your girl's trip. Like she's like, hey, let's. Do it.
I gotta say though, like a girls trip, I've done a girls trip to Portugal and it is so much fun.
Into that.
This is
smells so good.
Made in Portugal, obviously.
Well, you wanna know where it comes primarily from?
Yeah.
Quinto dos Malvados, Quinto do Tua, and Quinta das Lagas in the Rio. Torto.
I know exactly
that's
where that
comes from.
I never said
Charles Simonton is the winemaker there. They buy their grapes from farmers all over that region. It spends
the Douro.
In the Douro region. I've been over there myself.
How did you
93 points from James Suckling.
What do you look for in a good port? Because I feel like when people go to a restaurant and you're like, oh, I'm ordering a port, just give me a port. There's never something.
There's a lot of producers that it's just everyone carries because it's just easy.
Yeah.
And it is a fortified wine. So it's just, even when we opened it earlier, I was like, that's a really light port, which is a tawny.
By the color, you mean?
Yeah. Just by the color. Like when it's not a tawny, it's like you can see through that. When you look at color, you want to look like directly through the center. And then that's like the color of the wine. And then you see the rim variation where you get, you want like a white background, girl, you can, like black behind it. What
are you saying?
There we go.
Nothing. I'm like nothing.
So then you have what's called rim variation and it's like that different color. And then you see the clear aspect on the very edge, and that's actually going to tell you a little bit about the alcohol level of the wine, that clear rim variation.
What do you think the alcohol level is?
Testing.
I know. God.
Did you know that this is going to be a test today?
I know.
I'll tell you what it is. 20%.
20.
I was gonna say, like,
this is the heaviest pourpoint.
20.
I haven't bartended in many years.
Like that, 20%. Yeah. I mean, I'm just loving it. Like it, honey, mm-hmm. getting figs. It's just really, but it's mellow though, and you can feel the maturity. You can sort of taste that age on it. Right?
Dan, is port your preferred dessert? When you're out to dinner,
I would have this with lamb covered in chocolate. A chocolate
Lovely.
Lamb
Waiting
dipped in
that's
chocolate.
That's my favorite.
Waiting for it.
It's a Greek delicacy.
Like a lamb mousse.
Yeah.
with some lamb cream on it. Yes. Oh, man.
Are you Greek?
No.
I don't even like lamb. Really? I mean, lamb's
meat
fine.
In this lamb sandwich? You
know, no, I'm. I like steak, pasta. Getting away from meat, though, a little bit. I don't know. Maybe I'm not.
Doesn't sound like it.
It's like,
I just had bacon before I came here.
Oh, gosh.
Getting away from
like,
it.
But this doesn't necessarily always have to go with a dessert. Like, this and a charcuterie board?
Yeah.
We're naming all of these things that go honey, figs, that go amazing with prosciutto, salami, mm-hmm. maybe, you know, those big crackers that you get at Whole Foods.
How would it go delicious. With like a spicy salami, do you think? Is that no? Okay.
You mean like and like what kind of
like a charcuterie board that had like a very spicy salami
and
like maybe a mild cheese? And some figs on the side.
No, totally.
I'm building my board here.
Okay. When we're talking a board, fine. Yeah. I'm thinking like a spicy salami sandwich. And I'm
No. I'm building a charcuterie board here.
When we're talking about spicy things as well, like you do want something a little sweeter.
Okay.
So that's when we talk about Riesling, also a very underrated.
Very.
Very underrated.
I agree. Wine. I have learned that.
Because
I have learned that.
Super faceted. You can go from super, super sweet. And super,
I know,
super
everyone
dry.
Everyone thinks it's sweet, and it's just
there's, and that's also
the dry Rieslings are amazing.
Yeah, that's also something that you can talk about with a table. You don't even need to talk to a sommelier. If some people are intimidated and don't want to talk to me, that's fine.
You're very scary.
I always talk to people. I say, talk to me like I'm your doctor.
Hey.
Tell me.
Hey, bro.
Tell me.
Yeah,
tell
bro,
me
I'll talk to you
it.
Anytime.
Tell me if it's itching. Tell me if it's, you know, scratchy, sore. But the more you tell me, the more I know. But if you look at the alcohol level, the lower the alcohol level on a Riesling, the sweeter it's going to be.
Okay.
That makes sense.
So it hasn't converted to alcohol, so it's not going to be super dry. So I mean,
this is delicious, and
yeah,
it's
$42
a bottle. The Graham's 10-year-old Tawny Point port. I'm going to recap very quickly what we've had on this episode. We're going to wrap this up. We're going to get the next. We started with Bottega Vinao Pinot Grigio. We love Rodney Strong 2017 Symmetry. Rodney Strong Alexander Valley Cabernet Sauvignon. J.O. Sullivan Rutherford Estate Founders Reserve Merlot 2020. Landmark Vineyards, God, I'm feeling buzzed just going through this list again. Landmark Vineyards, Hop Kiln Estate, 2021 Pinot Noir, Paso de Oro Cabernet Sauvignon, Graham's 10-year-old Tawny Port. I want to thank Katia Dragotis for being with us, as always, when you're on the show. We love it. And Caitlin Hara.
Yay! Yeah.
Bringing the knowledge today here.
I
want to
so
thank
much.
The folks at Dear Jane's for hosting us. Thank the construction workers outside for taking their lunch break so we could do some of this, and hopefully we can get the second episode banged out, and Caitlin's going to be back and Katya's going to be back for that one as well. And I invite you to follow me at The Imbiber on Instagram. Where they find you, Caitlin?
On Instagram?
On the social medias.
Oh man, mine's at KC and then Hara, Harrah.
At Katya Dragotis, which is a mouthful. So follow at Purple Banter _.
That's the podcast
network.
I feel
like I really should have made that easier.
And we'll see you for part two next week. Bye.
Love it.